It's still on, and we're going. Nez sent an emissary this afternoon to make sure. Now, Nez don't want anybody packed, and he don't want anybody flexing any muscle. So I gave him my word that E-Society would hold up the truce. Everybody says Nez is the one and only. I think we better have a listen for ourselves.
Society Podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azizu back again here with an E-Society special. It's the Warriors' 40th anniversary, so you know we had to cover it. Before I go any further, he's the one. It's the Nez.
Can you count, suckers? I say the future is ours, if you can count. Yes. It was February 9th, 1979. New York City, the boogie down Bronx, is where everything went down. But if you break down to actually where they were, the actual meeting of the Warriors, it wasn't in the Bronx. It was kind of close to Hell's Kitchen
right
in Manhattan. With the last time I was in New York, I found a map. I didn't get to go everywhere because one of my ankles was bothering me, so I didn't really get to walk around too much. But yes, the Warriors 40 year anniversary. Can't believe it's been that long, man. Directed by Walter Hill. Screenplay by David Schreiber and Walter Hill. This was based on Sol Yurick. I think that's how you say his name. Of the title, The Warriors, that was his book. And this movie was amazing. The very first time I seen this film, I was at the drive-in. I can't remember what my mom and dad took my brother to see, but I think I was bored with it. So I looked over to the next screen, the Coliseum drive-in, and I was watching The Warriors. I had no idea what it was. I just saw these guys fighting dudes that look like clowns with baseball bats and them running for their lives. And I was like, what's going on? I didn't hear one word of it, but I watched the whole movie. I had no idea what it was about. I actually didn't see it again until it came on. I think it was Showtime when I first heard it, when I got to hear the dialogue. And that was probably somewhere in the early 80s when Showtime had it playing, and I finally got to hear and understand what was going on in the film. But watching it in 79 as an 8-year-old Nez looking out the side of our, we had a little station wagon, watching this movie, just going, wow, wow. And I remember talking to my friends that had seen it, and we were all so young. All we remember was the fighting and how the Warriors looked and how all the other gangs looked. And I just thought it was an amazing film. I had no idea at that time it was going to be one of my all-time favorite movies. Just of watching it over and over when it came on TV and going to see it at late night film festivals when they had the show. And I actually got to meet some of the Warriors. I met Swan, played by Michael Beck. And I met, what was her name? Her name was Mercy in the film.
Deborah Van Valkenburg.
Yeah, her. Because I remember she was on Too Close for Comfort. I met her, and I got to talk to Michael Beck about the Warriors. I mean, because that's what we were all there for. And this is right before the video game came out. Because I had asked him about if he was the voice. He said, "Yeah, a lot of us got to do our characters. They asked us to be the voice on the video games. I was like, whoa. So I didn't know the video game yet. I didn't have it. I got it eventually when it came out for PSP. I never finished it because it was kind of hard. Kyle, he zipped right through it. And
wow.
That's awesome. He was unsure of what it was. He was like, he goes, what is this? I said, it's the Warriors. He goes, who are they? I said, they're a gang in New York. And I said, you fight and everything. So he was like, oh, cool, because he loved fighting games. So I let him play the game. And I said, oh, he was old enough to handle it. Plus, I'd let him see rated R movies. I said, oh, did you know this is a movie? He's like, no. So I gave it to him. I let him watch it on DVD. And this is probably one of his favorite movies. He watched it over and over and over again.
That's
and
awesome.
He knew all the gangs and everything. It was just something that he loved. I mean, he said playing that game was like cool. But then when he finally got to see the movie and what was going on in it, I mean, it was awesome. I do eventually want to get a Warriors poster and hang it up in his room. I want to do a lot of things for him, just things that he loved,
yeah.
Movies that he loved, and the Warriors was one of them. So, I mean, it was cool, man. I mean, but it was awesome that I was able to share that with Kyle and Marky. I don't think Tiga or Eric has seen it yet, but.
Wow, there you go. Perfect time.
Those two, Marky and Kyle loved it. I mean, they know what it is. And going to New York, going to Coney Island, I've been there a couple times, and Renee bought a T-shirt. It says the Warriors on it, Coney Island. So it's cool, man. I mean, I just love this film. It just takes me back to a time of just sitting in at the drive-in watching movies and seeing it again and again and again on cable and VHS, DVD, and now Blu-ray. I don't like the Blu-ray, the director's cut or whatever it's called, because Walter Hill wanted to make this into like a comic book type of form.
That's what I heard.
But
yeah.
Paramount didn't want it that way in 79. So the movie that we've seen growing up is what we got, the theatrical cuts. But when Blu-ray and DVD came around, DVD was the first time they threw it. And I was like, oh, cool. I thought they were going to add more scenes. And they didn't. It was just they added. Walter here on the extras, it said this is how I wanted it, but the movie company didn't let me do it. So now I'm able to do it to his original vision, and I don't like it. I think the reason I don't like it is just because of I was so used to the theatrical cut.
Right.
And I mean, yeah. It's still the same movie. It's just he made some of the scenes into like comic cells, and I just didn't like it. Have you seen that version?
I haven't, but now I really want to see it. I knew that like it had like an origin that he felt like it was like the first comic book movie, but I never knew there was actually that version of it.
Yeah, check it out. You can. I know the Blu-ray is, and it's on DVD that way as well. The Blu-ray, the one that's out that you can get, is his director's cut or whatever it's called.
Okay,
it's that one. So if you want to pick up that, or I mean, I have it on VHS. I have it on DVD. I'm glad I still have my DVD copy because that's the version that I like. When it was streaming on Netflix and it was streaming on Amazon for a little while, it was the regular cut. It wasn't the director's one.
Yeah, I streamed it just the other day on Dish. So if you have Dish, you can stream it for free right now, and it's the regular version. So
I mean, but this film is, it didn't think it was going to be anything as big as it is now. I think once the home video market hit and cable is when it really got its audience. Because
right.
I remember when it came out, it was in the theaters and the drive-in, but it was, I wouldn't say it was a flop. The budget was $4 million, and oh, it is far from a flop. It boxed office at $22.5 million. Because I think it hit when it hit like late night theaters, and there was violence in the theaters and everything when this movie came out. I mean, just like any movie dealing with gangs, there's always been some kind of problem in the theater. Like even in the 80s when Colors came out, there was
problems
with that. Or even in the 70s, there was a movie called Boulevard Nights about the lowriders and the gangs in L.A. there was problems with that when that was in the theater, and the Warriors was just another one. I don't remember anything being happening in the Bay Area for this film, but I do remember in reading some of the stuff that, that happened in New York and everything about people fighting and all that with the gangs. Now, you watch this movie now. I mean, I still love it. I mean, I'm always going to love it. I mean, I loved how the gangs looked in this. But if you look at it now, I mean, let's just say a younger bunch. Like if I showed it to Eric right now and he sat down and watched it, he would probably think, why is there guys with painted faces? Why is there dudes that look like mimes with top hats on?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would look at these gangs now that are and just laugh. But
well, the thing about it, and I guess I might as well say right now, I'll be referencing a few times Rewatchables pod. They did a pod on it, and they were able to drop some facts on there I didn't know. And they were talking about how even when the film was released, it's actually supposed to be not just like 79 set. It's actually supposed to be almost like an apocalyptic type future, almost like a little Mad Max like. So that is one of the reasons you can imagine why, you know, there would be baseball furies and things like that. And one of the things they were saying on that pod was they imagined that the baseball furies, and I'd love to hear what you think about this, Nez, but like they are actually kind of more like a preppy gang.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, as far as I listened to that pod as well, as far as they, yeah, like they said, it was a more futuristic. I don't think so. There was really nothing futuristic about this. I mean,
well, just that it was felt more apocalyptic. Like New York felt a little more empty. I get it's the night, but it felt more empty than it should have been.
But the reason why it was so empty at night is the crime. From what I understand, crime was really bad in the 70s
right.
in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, you go there now, I'm sure there's still crime, but it's not like
nowhere near.
No, it was like it was running wild out yeah. there. So that's why the streets were pretty much empty when these guys were running around. Plus, it was in the middle of the night because the meeting in the beginning was supposed to be at midnight, and
right.
they basically ran the streets all night. This is on Wikipedia. The Warriors is a 1979 American crime film. I don't know about crime film, but okay. directed by Walter Hill. It's based on Sol Yurick's 1965 novel with the same name. The story centers on a New York City gang that must make an urban journey of 30 miles from the north end of the Bronx to their home in Coney Island in southern Brooklyn.
That's a long way for like one night. That's a long way. Like just thinking about like locally here, like that's a ways. I'm just trying to even think like that, it's at least that, down to the other side of Fortuna from here.
if you're looking at a map of Manhattan to where that supposedly they started in the Bronx,
right.
let's just say Yankee Stadium. That's in the Bronx.
Sure.
From there all the way to Coney Island, basically going all the way through Manhattan and then going across. I mean, and Coney Island is way on the coast. So
right.
that is a far. I mean, even if you're in downtown Brooklyn and you get on the train and go to Coney Island, I mean, it felt like it took forever. I've been to Coney Island a couple times. I actually stayed there the last time I was there. And, I mean that is far. I think one of the other times I was there, I went to a Yankee game by myself, and I always reference the Warriors for whatever reason. And this was perfect, man, because I was in the Bronx and I had to get back into New York, basically get back to Brooklyn where we were staying. And I remember I commented on Facebook. I said, "All right, I made it, and I didn't have to bop my way all the way back from the boogie down Bronx."
All right, you boppers.
Yes. But yeah, man, if you look on the map and the way they went, it 30 miles doesn't seem far, but I guess when you're on foot,
because
they ran for a lot of it and they walked, and plus they were on the trains. And man, that is far. I mean, especially in the middle of the night. I mean, I mean, this story, you guys know what the story is. The Warriors and pretty much every gang in New York City was all invited to the Bronx to for the Gramercy Riffs. Cyrus, he's the one and only. He came up with this idea of, like, let's get all the gangs together and form a truce to become one big gang. Basically, all the gangs in New York, they mentioned, like, about 21 of them, but there was, like, still a ton more of all them just to get together. And, I mean, he actually says he does a little math, but, I mean, I'm sure there was much more in the what he said. So I think it came out to, like, 60,000. 60,000 hardcore members, he said, and that's with every gang together. Then he said there's only about 20,000 cops in the whole city, so he was just trying to get everyone to be one big gang, and they can take over the whole city, knock out all the crime syndicates, all the mob, basically, and just run the city. That was the whole idea that Cyrus wanted to do. But then there's always a hater, and that's the Rogues is what their gang was called, and that was run by Luther, played by David Patrick Kelly. He's worked with Walter Hill in other films. He was also Luther, and he was Luther in
that's
this.
That's amazing.
And he was Luther in 48 Hours.
That's amazing.
I mean, there was other actors in 48 Hours. James Remar, he was the main guy, Gans. In 48 Hours, and there was another guy, I think it was Rembrandt, Marcino Sanchez. He was also in 48 Hours. He was only in, like, one quick scene. But so that was the point of the big meeting. There was a million, however many hundreds of gangs in the city, and they were supposed to bring 9 delegates. No weapons, no nothing. Just go up there. Don't cause any beefs with anyone, and listen to what Cyrus had to say. So everyone there, man, it was a big turnout, and they were showing all the gangs. That's what I loved about the beginning of this film, because in the very beginning of the film, you see what's his nuts.
Who had your favorite style as far as, like, I know we don't. Maybe you don't know all the names, like. I know if you listen to the pod, you just heard them. And I knew some of them from the video game, obviously. And then you hear some of them during the film. The Furies is obviously the name that stands out the most. But if you don't know the name, who is your, like, favorite, like, style? Like, that was a cool looking one.
They all had their different styles, man. I always go to the Baseball Furies just because they looked super badass. Right. They looked badass. But in actuality, if you watch it, man, they were weak because they got beat down by 4 guys and there was 9 of them.
Yeah, so, right.
I love the Baseball Furies, but if you just run down the list of the ones that they mention or the ones they show, like in the very beginning, when everyone finally gets going to the Bronx, to the meeting, they start showing all these gangs.
Roller skaters.
Yeah, they show them all getting onto the train. The one, the Rogues were the ones that with Luther. He's the one that shot Cyrus. You had the Turnbull ACs. Those were those skinhead looking dudes on that big bus. You had the Orphans, which didn't even know nothing about the meeting, but they do have a big part in this film. They show them the Baseball Furies. You have the Lizzies. They weren't at the meeting, or they didn't show them. They showed them later in the film. And one of the last gangs, they show them fighting when they had that big fight in the bathroom in the subway. They were the punks. But the film, some of the ones that they showed when they were all getting ready, the Boppers, they were the pimp looking dudes with the purple vest and the hats. You see them. Cool. There was, I think it was a Puerto Rican gang. Oh, it was a Spanish Harlem gang called the Hurricanes. They showed them at the meeting. Guys walking through the subway station, the Electric Eliminators, they had the shiny yellow jackets, and it said Electric Eliminators on the back of their jackets. There was another group called the Saracens. They were just, like, pretty much all in black, wearing black tank tops. The Jones Street Boys, they showed them, and Cyrus mentioned them during the meeting. And there was this one group, these guys from China, the Chinatown, the Savage Huns. You see them when they're standing around in the train station. And this was one gang that they show, but it's like really fast. You see the back of one of their vests. It was the Satan's Mothers.
Oh,
that's a kind of a weird name, but they were all based out of Brooklyn. So, okay.
The Satan's Mothers? Satan's?
Yes. I don't know. I guess Satan has more than
the Satan's.
Yeah, there must be more. the next one, they show these guys walking through their subway stations, the Boyle Avenue Runners. They look like a kind of a maybe a Samoan and Mexican gang. They were all out of Queens.
Right.
They're out of Queens. They show the Moon Runners. These guys look like breakdancers. They have the red T-shirts, red bandanas, and like a see-through, I don't know if that's a purple tank top or something. I love this gang name, the Van Cortlandt Rangers.
That sounds
like a cool name, but how they look, they look stupid. These guys with these big hats on and these striped shirts. They show them really quick in the beginning. Another one, the Gladiators. They just guys with black T-shirts on. There was other gangs that were in the script, but they didn't show them or they weren't even mentioned. I'm going to just name off some of the few. The Alley Cats, the Amsterdam All-Stars, the Black Hands, the Black Jacks, the Big Trains, the Charlie Mangs, whatever that means, the Colt 45s. That's cool.
Nice.
I like that one. But don't drink that beer, everyone. That beer is gross. The Dealers, the Delaney Rovers, the Dingoes. They mentioned this on Rewatchables, the Dingoes. I didn't know this until I was reading some of the script. The Dingoes was this is what it says right here, the Dingoes.
Australian?
No, a homosexual gang and rivals of the Warriors. Did play a part in the original script when they captured one of the Warriors, but the scene was ultimately cut. So I guess they did film something, but they didn't show it. All right. Okay. The Dingoes.
I thought they were Australian.
No, the East Street Shufflers, the Easy Aces, the 8th Avenue Apaches. That'd have been cool. Maybe they were a native.
There you go.
The Fastballs, the Fillmores, the Gohards, the Homeboys. I'm just zipping through now. The High Rollers, the Jupiters, the Knuckles, the Locos, the Knockdown, the Roadmasters, the Romans, the Runaways. Hey, that's the name of a band. The Turks, the Wizards, the Yo-Yos, the Zodiacs, Wizards. The Zulus, the Whisperers. Hey, they're going to come on the second half of The Walking Dead when that starts. But
yeah, Whispers.
There was a bunch of other gang names on here on this list, but we'll be here all night if I read them all.
Yeah,
but the gangs in the beginning, I loved it in the intro of how that. Plus, you had the Gramercy Riffs, which was one of the biggest gangs in the city. The very beginning, I remember when this came on TV, there was a scene of Cleon. He was the leader of the Warriors. He was talking to his girlfriend. You can watch these on YouTube. All the cut scenes are on YouTube. They're not on the Blu-ray, and I think they're on the DVD. I'm not sure. I don't remember, but when this aired on TV, they had to cut some of it out, like some of the violence. So they had to keep that runtime. So they added the scenes that they cut. And I remember seeing this scene when I watched it on TV, and I was like, what part is this? I never seen this. Cleon, it's during the day. They're at Coney Island. Cleon's talking to his girlfriend, and she's basically telling that, you guys have never been to the Bronx. Why are you going up there? I don't think you should go. I have a feeling something bad's going to happen to you. He's like, oh, baby, don't worry about it. I'll be good. I got my gang with me. And we all know the outcome of Cleon. He actually gets beat to death by the Gramercy Riffs, because during the meeting, this is when Cyrus is giving his speech and telling them that we all need to be one big gang and take over the city. This is when the Rogues, led by Luther. Luther is the one that shoots Cyrus. And all hell breaks loose, because then the cops show up. And everyone's just running all over the place. So Cleon kind of walks up on Cyrus just to see him.
Do That's him. He's the one. He's the one. The Warriors did it. The Warriors did it. The Warriors did it.
And this is when Luther goes, that's him. He's the one. He shot Cyrus. The Warriors did it.
The Warriors. The Warriors did it.
They all go crazy. I mean, Cleon was hardcore, man, because he took down pretty much that whole all nine of the rogues by himself. Because they all came rushing at him. He drops and flips. Luther gives him an elbow, gives a couple kicks to the other dudes and knocks them all down. This is when the Riffs jump in and just basically just stomp him to death.
And I heard on the, I'm sure you heard too, on the rewatchables, they said that like he originally had a bigger role, but like didn't get along with the director. So like they wrote him out.
That wasn't him. That was another character.
Oh, is that the one they're talking about? The train?
Yeah, that was, let's see. What was his name?
The dude that gets flipped onto the train tracks.
Yeah. Fox. Thomas G. Waits. He was the one that they had problems with. I mean, there was one documentary I was watching, and he goes into it that he just didn't like what was going on. He had been in other things, so he was like, this is just stupid and all this. And they couldn't get along with him. So, because he was supposed to be, Fox was supposed to be the main one, but since they didn't like him and they wrote him out of the script is when they said, you know what, we're going to rewrite this and Swan's going to be the main guy, which was Michael Beck. So that was cool. But yeah, I mean, he was a cool character. I did like Fox and what he was doing, because in the beginning of some of the stuff that's being cut out, Cleon's like going down the list and telling everyone what their position is going to be. Like Fox was basically the one that was going to be the lookout and kind of just check out everything and all that. So from what I understand, there was 120 members in the Warriors, and these were the nine that Cleon picked that he could trust the most. So he brought them all. So because we never get to see the rest of the Warriors.
The rest of the Warriors,
We only got to see these nine, and actually only Cleon got killed, Fox got killed, and Ajax got arrested. So
they should have had more during the beach scene, or when they got back to like the Wonder Wheel and all that Coney stuff. They should have had some more Warriors,
but they didn't. I mean, there was no way of them to get a hold of
to know. Yeah,
this is all. No cell phone.
In the morning.
No cell phones.
Right. And it was still in the morning. The sun had just rose. So
yeah, because they basically, once everyone left the meeting, and they didn't know that everyone was after him, because the Gramercy Riffs were, they just took what Luther said and said, yeah, the Warriors did it. So that was when they got the word out to everybody that the Warriors were one. Well, I did love how they got the DJ lady to she didn't have a name, she was just DJ, and that was played by Lynn Tingpin, or I think that's how you say her last name. She's been in a ton of movies, but plus she was also in All My Children. I remember her from that, but I liked her part in the film.
All right, now for all you bumpers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action, I've been asked to relay a request from the Gramercy Riffs. It's a special for the Warriors. That's that real live bunch from Coney. And I do mean the Warriors.
Of just going back to her and kind of just laying down what happened, pretty much play by play, after the Warriors passed somebody, got past the gang. I don't know, somebody must have been calling her the whole night and telling her what was going on, because she was the one that got the word out to everybody. Because after everything kind of settled down a little bit, is when the one Gramercy Riff, I can't remember his name offhand. I'm looking at something. I can't remember his name. Okay, that was Cyrus. He was Roger Hill, and Roger Hill, the guy that played Cyrus, he had passed away not too long ago. I think it's Masai or Masi. He was Edward Swear. He was the one that would that basically took over after Cyrus. So he was the one that was telling, because he was basically like,
"Who are the warriors? There must be some word. I want them all. I want all the warriors. I want them alive if possible, if not wasted. But I want them."
Who are the warriors? And like nobody knew. It was cool. But what I loved about the Gramercy riffs is when he walked in and he just go, "Riffs." And then everyone go, "Yeah, right." And then that's when he went into the speech. Who are the warriors?
Yeah.
And nobody knew. He goes, "There must be some word." So
yeah, they're all the way out there in Coney.
Yeah, and he would just like, he goes, "I want all the warriors alive if possible, if not wasted, but I want them." And then they were like, "All right." And they said, send the word. And then that's when the DJ comes on and said, "All right, okay, boppers. There's a special from the Warriors. You know that big bunch from Coney? And I do mean the Warriors." So basically putting it out like, "Hey, man, everyone, every gang out there, we're looking for the Warriors." Because that they said it was a message from the Gramercy Riffs. So everybody in the whole town was after them. And everyone just assumed that the Warriors were the ones that killed Cyrus. And like the Warriors didn't know. They were too busy running. They didn't have a radio or anything to listen to. To get all these updates. So they were basically just trying to get home, because after when they all got out of the little area of the park where the meeting was going, I mean, they were like, "Okay, what are we going to do now?" And they didn't know if Cleon was still alive or what. So they just said, "All right, man, hey, well, we need to go home." This is when Swan and Ajax kind of got into it, and he goes, "Well, I got one question." And he said, "Yeah. Who made you leader?" I mean, James Remar is just badass in every role he plays. He was tough as Albert Gans in 48 Hours. This is my favorite role of him, is Ajax. And he was badass in Dexter. If you guys have watched that, he was Dexter's dad. I liked him in that. And he's done a lot of stuff in the 80s. I really loved him in Band of the Hand. I don't know if you had seen that. He was a cocaine warlord. In that, he was tough in that movie. He always played badass roles in everything he did. Plus, he did do his voice for Ajax in the video game, so that was pretty sweet. So they were basically, from the rest of the movie, they were trying to get their way home. And along the way, it was kind of like of a Game of Death style type of thing. Just fighting all these gangs. All the way.
Very video game like, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the video game, it's just like the movie. You fight all these gangs to get back home. I got about halfway through the game. I didn't finish it. Kyle said, "Yeah." He goes, "You beat up all these gangs and you end up back in Coney Island like in the movie." So
did he play it on PlayStation 2?
No, he played it on
just the PSP.
The PSP. That's the only version I had. I didn't have any of
PlayStation
that.
2.
So, yeah. But. I mean, along the way, man, I mean, they fought all these gangs, and it was cool, man. I mean, the first gang they actually come across is the Turnbull ACs, all these skinhead looking dudes. And I mean, Ajax probably to me had the best lines in all the films or in the whole movie, because when they're sitting there and they drive by and they're like, "Who are these guys?" They go, "That's the Turnbull ACs." And Ajax goes, "Those lousy skinheaded fucks." And he had like the coolest lines in the whole movie. And Ajax was, out of all of them, they were all down, but Ajax was the downest. He just wanted to fight everybody. He didn't care. He didn't care. He always wanted to fight. But it was cool. I mean, if you actually look at the whole Warriors gang, the nine that we see, there's a couple of these. I'd say mainly two of them, Rembrandt and Cowboy. Those, they were like the weakest ones. They didn't do much. Yeah, they fought a little, but then they got beat up and Rembrandt got cut.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, man, Cochise and Ajax, Vermin, Swan, Fox, and Snow, man, they were all soldiers, man. They were down to fight, man. They had the fighting skills, but the other two guys, they just seemed really small. I don't know how they got in the gang, but okay. So, I mean, but it was cool, man. But they had all nine of them, but there was only eight when they went on the run. And coming across the gangs in this, man, they come across Turnbull ACs. We don't really see much of them because they just run. But that looked like a tough ass gang. There was that they were deep on that bus.
Yeah.
it's funny though. You watch these movies and you're like, why are they running in the street? They should have been hiding in the shadows and they would have got away. But no, they just ran right down the middle of the road and this bus was chasing after them. But it was a cool looking scene if you look at it. Watching it on the screen. I know a lot of people just laugh at this film saying how unbelievable it is, but it's a movie, man. It's here to entertain us. But for us as little kids and everything, I was like, oh my God, I was blown away and rooting for the Warriors the whole movie. But I mean, you come across that game, and then the next game they come across is the Orphans, which they looked pretty rough and tough, but they didn't do much. They basically just had like a talk out scene and there wasn't really any action until was it Swan threw that Molotov cocktail at them and it blew up a car and they ended up just running. That's where they all got separated. And then other than trying to get away from gangs, they also had to get away from the cops. So because there was cops searching all over, basically just searching for gangs, not just the Warriors.
Right. So, right.
That was cool. And then after they got away from the Orphans and everything, they got separated because the cops were chasing them throughout the train station. And then this is when they come across the baseball Furies. And to me, I mean, I love the Furies. I just love the way they look. But I just love this scene that they all come running out of the train station. And they go, where are they? And Ajax is like, they're waiting for the rest of the Warriors because they all got separated. And he's like, where are they? Then they turn around and you just see the nine of the Furies. They were wearing the pinstripe baseball suits. A lot of people thought they were wearing Yankee jerseys, but it does resemble those, the pinstripes and everything. But it was cool, man, with their black leather hats and their faces all painted up, and they're just standing there with their baseball bats. I thought the leader, I don't know, and they didn't really have names. From what I don't remember, it was just the Furies is what they called them. But they look cool. The main guy, the leader guy that was with him, his face was yellow. He had black lips and one circle black eye, and the rest of them looked cool. But man, they were all standing there with bats, and they were like, "We better get out of here." So they all just end up running down the street, and then the Furies go chasing after them. This was the scene that I love the most. I mean, out of everything, I mean, cinematography wise, the Warriors are running, and they kind of stop, and Ajax is, "Do we lose these fucking clowns or what?" And then Swan goes, "No, look." And then there's a camera shot. You can just see the sidewalk lower. Then all of a sudden, you just see these heads coming up and over the side, over the hill. And it's the baseball Furies. And they're like, "Holy shit." And then they all just start running. And I love this chase scene. Out of all the chase scenes in this film, they were running through Central Park. I don't know what part of the park they were at, but it was just... It was an awesome scene, man. You got the four of them running, and you got nine guys with face paint and baseball bats. It looks like a baseball team chasing you.
Yeah, it's funny we're at this point that you're mentioning, because I'm actually at that point right now, and you're almost doing play by play of what's happened in the scene. You know, what's so interesting though is how there's nobody out. Yes, I get it's the middle of night, but interestingly enough, I noticed in the scene before you were talking there in the subway with the cops, that's one scene where you actually see other people in the subway, other just like citizens.
That's right, because they're kind of ducking and dodging other people, train riders. And I think that's the scene when, I think it's later when, no. Did
That's where he gets tossed into the tracks. And you know what's interesting? They said on the rewatchables that you can kind of tell it's somebody else. So I was kind of looking. And yeah, they try really hard not to show the dude's face.
Yeah, because they just show his back. And then when he's running, him and Mercy, Fox and Mercy are running from the cops. He kind of has his head turned to the side and he's like looking down, so you can't really see his face, but you can clearly see that it's not that actor, because that the actor was fired before they even shot that scene. So
it was,
this was the only way to get rid of him. Let's kill him. So basically,
yeah. And I'm in the little like trivia or like, did you know of the IMDb? And what they say is in the script, Fox was originally the love interest of Mercy, but the two actors had no chemistry and the Mercy romance was transferred to Swan. Thomas G. Waits was fired 8 weeks into principal photography for being difficult and arguing with Walter Hill. So his character was removed from the movie when a cop threw him into the path of a train during a fight. To this day, Hill felt bad about the rough times he had with Waits. Waits is not in the final credits because he demanded that his name be removed. Wow.
Yeah. I hear the music. What is it? The Furies chasing him?
Yeah. And it's about to be, if you did listen to that Rewatchables pod, their favorite quote.
Oh, so they already read
it. It's about to happen.
They stopped already. Yeah, I mean, with that scene, you see them hauling ass through the park, which I thought was an amazing shot. And then you got that one Fury that's lagging behind because Snow and Swan kind of step off to the side. And then they come double back and run chasing after him, and they take out the first Fury. And you see Ajax and Cowboy running. This is why I think Cowboy's weak. He didn't do anything. He does do what at the end when they had that big fight in the bathroom. But
I can't make it. You sure? Yes, I'm sure. Good. I'm sick of running from these whips.
See, that's how raw Ajax was. He just wanted to, wanted to fight, and he didn't care. Like, there was only those two, man. He took on. He was ready to take on all of them. But
it was funny when he does face off against that first one, the yellow faced one. The way that Fury kind of like drops into a pose with the bat out. I don't know, something about that's awesome.
It's cool, man. It's a sweet scene because he runs by. They basically take out Fox really quick because he's just flat out on his back. And then that one guy with the yellow face runs by and he stops. And I just like love how he looks. He stops.
Yeah.
He smiles at him. He does that little trick with the bat.
Yeah.
And speaking of that bat trick, I could never do it because I just couldn't see exactly how he was doing it. A friend of the show, Mike J. Marin. That's what he likes to be called, everybody, because there's some other Mike Marins out there. But anyway, he was able to do it. This is when we were kids. He's able to do that trick. And he would show me, and I still couldn't do it right. The way Mike did it, I wonder if he could still do it. Next time I'm around Mike, if I have a bat, I'm like, here, do that trick, and I'll film him.
Yeah, but film it.
He was able to do it, and to this day, I still can't do that bat trick. It looks simple, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't grasp on how he did it. Even Mike showed me. Anyway, so I love that scene. And then you think they're all rough and tough, but they actually, those three warriors just ran through all nine of them. Like, there's times, and they said this on the rewatchables, that when they're fighting, there's just other guys just standing around. Like, if all nine of them rushed them, or eight of them at that point, because they took out the first guy, but if eight of them all just rushed them, they could have easily took out Ajax before Swan and Snow come showing up. But I love that scene, that whole bat scene. And it's super choreographed because you can hear them. I mean, just with the bats, like one, two, three, and then swing and duck. I mean, but it's still an awesome scene. I love the aftermath of it. After they beat them all down, this whole baseball team is just laying in the grass. They got their bats and they take off. So, I mean, I love that scene. That's my favorite scene. Especially the score. The music during that scene is the music that was playing in the very beginning when you see the credits and all the the gangs. I love that song. I don't remember the name of it, but it's just a cool little song. It fit the scene in the beginning, and it fit this scene while they were running through the park and everything. I just thought it was an amazing scene. And then this is when we lose Ajax, because he gets
so strange. It's about to happen again on film. It's so strange. She's sitting there in this bright shirt in the middle of the night in the park, just like sitting there. It's like crazy.
I'd say this is probably maybe around between 2 and almost 3 in the morning, I would say.
Right. and she's sitting there like
by herself. Woo-hoo. And
yeah, she's got one arm up on the top of the bench.
She was Tom Hanks's mom in Big.
Wow.
That which funny about Big, it was on when I got home. So,
awesome.
But yeah, that was his Tom Hanks's mom in that. It's funny, and these are the days. I mean, in the early late 70s and early in throughout the 80s, there was a lot of rapiness in films, and Ajax was one of them. he was basically just pretty much gonna rape her right there on the park bench. But then this is when we all find out that she is a undercover cop.
So, yeah.
But I mean, like I
said, she couldn't be more obvious.
Yeah.
She couldn't be more obvious.
I mean, it's
sitting out there.
Yeah.
In a bright red shirt.
In the middle of the night in Central Park. I mean, it's probably safer now to walk through the park, but I still wouldn't do it. I would go around. I'd go the long way around the park. But,
and I heard back then it was really crazy. Like,
yeah,
the jungle crazy.
Whatever we're saying about New York, it's different now. I mean,
the 100%.
The times I've been there, it's still, I still love New York.
I mean, the money changed it all. Cause I hear, Daredevil's, Hell's Kitchen, I hear is supposedly like really nice now.
It is, because we stayed in that area one of the last times I was there in New York, and it was far from the Warriors or how it's portrayed in Daredevil. I mean,
right.
You watch all these movies throughout the 70s, 80s, even the old school ones when there was the mob running everything and gangs running wild like in this film. It is. I'm sure there's gangs everywhere, no matter what city you go into, but I think Manhattan is... it was really getting gentrified from what I understand. I've only been there a handful of times, but the areas I've been have been are different. Plusly, where our friends live in Brooklyn, with this one guy, I went into Skate Brooklyn skate shop. If you're ever in New York or in Brooklyn, and you're a skater, do hit up Skate Brooklyn. It's an awesome shop. They got mini ramps and everything in there. Like an underground skate park. It's really small, but it's still cool. Pick up a skateboard or a t-shirt or something while you're in there. But anyway, I was talking to those guys there, and that guy goes, yeah, this neighborhood has changed. He goes, it used to be just hood, gangsters everywhere, but then the gentrification began and slowly pushed everybody out. Because there were some little kids in there, but their moms buying skateboards and all that, which is cool because they're supporting their local business. And he goes, all this stuff like that. He goes, these little white kids. He goes, you did not see that before. I said, but he goes, he loves it now because he gets a lot of business. So he's still right. Running. But he did say, yeah, he grew up in Brooklyn in this area, and it's changed a lot. And you hear my story about Oakland. Yes, it's changed a lot. But so Ajax is arrested, and they're still trying to figure out where to go. And the group is split up. Cochise, Fox, and Rembrandt. They don't know where everyone else is, so they end up they're hanging out in Union Square, at Union Square Station, and this is when they come across the Lizzies, all these chicks, just total 70s style, flannel shirts, sweatshirts, and I'm looking at a picture right now, man. These are tough looking chicks, man, and they basically go, yeah, we heard about you guys. You guys are a tough outfit. Yeah, we heard about the Warriors, so they asked to go party. So basically, but everyone, like I said, they all knew that everybody was out for the Warriors. So they were doing their part, and they got him up to their lair, all partying with him, making out with him. The next thing you know, they're trying to get him, because one of them locks the door and goes, "So you're the Warriors, the ones that shot Cyrus." And this is when all hell breaks loose. I know you're not supposed to hit women, everybody, but it's a movie. And, man, these girls were tough, man. Some of them took some slugs, some kicks, and even one got hit with a chair. But they were down for their set, man. They were down for theirs, man. These were tough. These were tough gals. A couple of them were cute, but a lot of them were a little too rough. I wouldn't go to their party because nah, man. But that was a cool fight scene. I did love how when they go busting through the door to get out of there, and while during all the commotion, Rembrandt, he gets cut, and he's all pussied out, basically crying. Well, I guess I would cry too if I got slashed in the arm.
Yeah, with a knife. No doubt.
So they,
oh, no.
They basically all get away. They finally get to, I think they go back to Union Square Station, and this is when they all meet up. Other than that, you see Swan and Mercy. They kind of have their little moment walking through the subway tunnels and everything. And this was kind of ruthless, man. I give it to her. She was hardcore because she was with the orphans, but then she ended up following them. There's a scene in the trailer. It's not in the movies. I hated this scene in the trailer. If you watch it now, there's a scene of her. She's like, "You guys are the Warriors. You're the real dudes." And I'm like, it just sounds stupid. And I'm glad they cut it from the movie. But she kind of just ends up tagging along with them. I don't even know why they grabbed her and pulled her along. But hey,
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, except for you want that love story in there. I'm on another part of the trivia right now that fits for the scene. It says in one take, Michael Beck Swan swings a bat into Deborah's face in the scene where he throws it at the cop. She was rushed to the hospital at 3 a.m. for stitches and still has a scar from it.
She also broke her wrist.
Yeah, that's why she got the jacket, supposedly, they were saying on the rewatchables.
I had read that and heard it. I didn't know she had a scar. I mean, maybe if I ever meet her again, I'd ask her, where's your scar? Because I met her, but I didn't really stare at her see it. But yeah, because she had broke her wrist during one of those struggles and everything.
She got messed up.
So she had a jacket on. They said she had a cast on. That's why she was wearing the jacket.
I noticed it when I watched it too last night. Toward the end, when they're leaving the subway station in Coney and the sun's up, you can clearly see it under her sleeve.
I'll have to go back and watch it again. I didn't know that she.
Yeah,
me either. I figured that she was cold because she was running.
They wrote it into the script too. They're like, "What's with the jacket?"
She had a little pink top on that was like paper thin, so I just
assumed. Yeah, she says like the cops, they're looking for somebody in pink.
It was like, you're running around in New York. I don't know, maybe I assume this was during the summer. she ends up with a jacket on. So everyone, they all get hooked up back together. Swan finds Mercy because they got into a little argument, and this is when we notice the one guy on the roller skates in his overalls. If I had the opportunity to skate in these subway stations in New York, I would do it. There's so many ramps in there and you can get so much speed, but the station would have to be empty. Cause in this scene, you see the guys zinging back and forth, on the roller skates going down. I can roller skate, but I wouldn't go down no hills. I don't have that much control. Skateboard, that's another thing. So
what was the roller skating gang again? Do you remember?
They were the punks.
Okay. They were cool.
I liked them because they just looked, they just wore overalls. And
I love that.
none of these gang, I mean, everyone was really cool. There was black members and white members, but there was gangs where it was all black and there was all whites and everything. So I liked all the ethnic stuff that was going on with the gangs. There was no There was no racial stuff. I mean, even with the Turnbull ACs, everyone thought they were a skinhead gang. But no, when you look at them, there's black guys in there with them, too. So it was cool. But this, I think this is probably the best fight in the whole film when they're fighting the punks in the bathroom. And they go in there and just all hell breaks loose. I know, I mean, some of these guys must have gotten hurt. And I'm sure there were stuntmen because the ones that they got thrown through the crashing doors of the urinal or the stall toilet room stalls, and one dude gets slammed into the mirror. I think that was Fox is the one that gets thrown through the mirror. I think the guy who took the most punishment was probably the black guy because he gets hit with a bat, then he turns around and gets his head slammed into a wall. So it was an awesome fight scene. Plus, I'll give it up to the leader because that guy held his own on his skates. And he was still kicking butt in it. So I just thought that whole fight scene was awesome. That's over with. And then we get to them getting on the last train and they finally make it to Coney Island. But what other things I loved about this film, especially dealing with the rogues, Luther and his gang. This is what I was unsure of. I mean, every time they showed them, Luther was talking on the phone to somebody. They never really mentioned who he was talking to, and I don't know why they added that to the film. Maybe it's in the script or anything. Within the little notes that you're reading, do they mention who he's talking to?
No, not that I'm seeing.
Yeah, because I think that was one of the biggest things. Even like when I finally saw it and got to hear the dialogue, I was like, who was he talking to? Some people say, some people were saying he was talking to the DJ, and he was the one giving the DJ. That's what they're saying, but I don't think so. Maybe if you listen to the conversation, I mean, I don't think so. But I don't know. I mean, they never really said. Maybe if any of you guys ever meet Walter Hill or David Patrick Kelly, ask him, who are you talking to on the phone? Because that would probably be the first question I would ask him. The rogues, they kind of look like 50s greasers. Well, not really, because they all had long hair, but they had like the leather jackets and the leather hats and everything. And this is when you finally get that showdown at the end on the beach. Plus, you get the classic scene of Luther banging the glasses together with the Warriors come out and play. Do they do that before the Warriors games?
Sometimes they've done it. But surprisingly, I've seen it happen more when the Warriors are someplace else. Like, and it's crazy that the team would put themselves, you know, as as that reverse. But yeah, when the Warriors go on the road, a lot of times teams will play that to taunt the Warriors.
Marky has one of those shirts, the blue shirt that's with the Warriors, the font like it is in the movie.
Yeah,
he's got that shirt. I've only seen it once, and we got it from Marky. That's the one I want, but I never see it anywhere. So,
right.
I don't know. I do search around from time to time. I mainly really want that shirt. The only shirt I have for the Warriors, not the movie, everyone, the basketball team, the town one. That's the only one that I rock. I don't have any of the other ones, but
the baseball Furies were created due to Walter Hill's love of baseball and the glam rock band Kiss. The leader's faceplate clearly influenced Marilyn Manson, since he looks like Marilyn Manson in a baseball uniform.
Okay, I'm looking at a picture. Okay, maybe the skinny Marilyn Manson, not the Marilyn Manson now that's all fat and drunk.
No, right.
Because when I saw Manson live, he was all fat and drunk.
So, wow, okay. Yeah, probably initial. Yeah, another fun one for you. When the fictitious Turnbull ACs visit a hamburger joint during filming, people fled in fear of being attacked.
I see, that was different times in the 70s in New York. I mean,
yeah, which that goes to another one. I know they mentioned this on the other pod too, but they actually had, the film trucks were protected by a real gang called the Mongrels for $500 a day.
Yeah, they did had to, especially for that scene in the beginning, during the big meeting, a lot of them were actors, but they did hire gangs to show up, and they did say nothing happened. Everybody was cool, because I assumed everybody there got paid, or somebody got paid. But they did have to pay off some gangs to stay away, and I think they had to grease the palms of the some of the crime families, which, and I don't know, I think they still do. And I know they had to do that for Saturday Night Fever, and that was filmed in the 70s in New York. They said they had to pay some people, or they were gonna put a hit out on like the directors and everything. I was watching the making of Saturday Night Fever, and they said, yeah, they had to grease some palms of some crime lords. I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, New York, man, it is no joke. Well, back in the 70s it was, but
no doubt.
I'm sure it's still, parts of New York are still rough and tough, but I try to stay out of those areas.
Yeah, and nowhere near what it used to be. It's like the Bay Area. It's like impossible to live anywhere without it. You know, you can't afford to live there.
Yeah, it's just super expensive. But you get that the classic Warriors come out and play, and then they finally get to the beach, and this is when you have the standoff of the Rogues and the Warriors, and thinking there was going to be this big fight, because they all basically kind of load up with weapons, just whatever they can find, and they kind of have the talk.
Why'd you do it? Why'd you waste Cyrus?
No reason. I just like doing things like that.
I still watch this. I even thought it was stupid the first time I saw it, is when Luther pulls out his gun and says, "You're dead," and then Swan is slow motion. Swan just throws the switchblade at him and hits him in the hand, and he fires a gun. But if you look at the way everyone's positioned on the Warrior side, somebody would have got shot, or at least heard the bullet fly by their ears, because nobody moved except for Swan. I think you see Mercy standing there, and I can't remember who else is standing right there. It's like they didn't even move. Like, I'm surprised nobody got hit with the bullet. But he's laying there with the switchblade sticking out of his hand. I'm surprised they all just didn't spring into action and start fighting immediately. But
right,
this is when you hear the Gramercy riffs. Yeah, right. And you look up onto the sandbank, and you see, I don't know if it was the whole gang, but it was a lot of them. I'd say at least 100 of them standing there. And they come down, and they look at him and basically surround both gangs. And Swan goes, "You still looking for us?" And then this is when Masai, I think that's how you say it. He looks at him and goes, "No, we found what we're looking for." And this is when Luther starts crying, "That wasn't us, it was them, the Warriors." And then you get the classic, "You Warriors are good, real good. Swan, the best." It was awesome.
That's such an incredible ending.
It was just so something really simple, and just, I mean, you laugh at it now, but when you hear it in the film, man, it was awesome. It's still awesome.
Incredible. Yeah.
40 years later, it's still an awesome line in the film, and I do love this the awesome song at the end. I think it was Joe Walsh song.
Yeah,
I can't remember the title of it, but it's an awesome scene. And basically the riffs just surround them. I don't know if they killed the Rogues right there on the beach.
Imagine so.
The beaches of Coney Island, but they looked like they had everything. They had chains, hockey sticks, bats and axe handles and everything. So I'm sure they pretty much, they didn't beat him to death. Maybe they drug him off and killed him somewhere else. But I do love this scene. Plus, you do get the awesome DJ at the end. She goes, "Hey, the whole thing has been called off, and we were all wrong." So she goes, "So where's nothing I can do but play you a song?" And this is when the Joe Walsh song kicks on, and everyone goes walking down the beach. I've been to Coney Island a couple times. Maybe it's just when I was there, the waves weren't like that. But from what I understand, that wasn't filmed. That scene wasn't filmed at Coney Island. I've been there and I have looked. I mean, there's Warrior stuff everywhere. Talking about pop
culture. Of course.
Talking about pop culture, man. There's T-shirts. There's figures and everything in the little shops. I've never picked up any of them because the only one that I want Ajax, but he's pretty pricey. I think just mainly because he's Ajax, and the only ones I've seen is a few of the Warriors plus the baseball Furies. If I get a Furies, the only one I really want is the main one, the one with the yellow.
The main
face.
One.
I want him and I want Ajax. Those are the only figures that I want out of all of them. I know Mezco did some. I'm not sure if NECA did them, but there's a bunch of different style of Warriors figures. I'm looking at some right now. There's even a Cyrus figure. There's the main orphan guy. There's one of him. Different baseball Furies with different face paints. And as far as the Warriors, I only see Ajax, Swan, Cleong, and Snow. I don't see any of the other ones, but these all look cool. Oh, plus there's also some two of the punks. Main one is Luther and whoever his second in command. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 baseball Furies. It'd be awesome to have all 7 of those, but I only want the one. And out of the Warriors, I only want Ajax because he was my favorite. But, I mean, this film, his... so much stuff other than toys and clothing and everything and just style, man. If you go to I see cosplayers dress up as the Warriors or the Furies. Those are the only ones you pretty much really see.
Because you wouldn't be able to tell if somebody's just wearing overalls and skates. It'd be impossible to you know, tell.
Because I've seen a couple in San Diego, but when you go to New York Comic Con, there's way more Warriors and way more baseball Furies cosplay, and it's awesome. And I love going to New York Comic Con. I want to go again this year because I haven't gone the last 2 years, and I really love that con. It's not that big. It's awesome to go to. Plus, it's awesome just to go to New York and everything to do all the tourist stuff and everything there. But pop culture, man. I mean, a lot of people have used samples from this movie in their songs, metal songs, hip hop songs, and just other songs. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's even quotes in people's songs from quotes from the film. I mean, this is so big in pop culture. I mean, you can't do anything without some kind of Warriors reference in anything. I mean, a lot of people do reference this film. I mean, every now and then I'll throw out a Warriors a little dialogue from it. I mean, Mike and I, man, we grew up on this film, as well as my older brother Jamie. Even my younger brothers, man, they grew up on it as well too. And me sharing it with Kyle and Marky and them both loving it. I had no idea Kyle was gonna love it that much. I mean, he learned about it from just a video game, and then when I showed him the movie, and he watched it a million times, so he really knew who the Warriors were, and he could name all of them. He can even name the gangs that were in the film, because I guess they named the gangs in the video game. But
yeah.
I mean, there's so much stuff from this film that's like, I mean, mainly the toys and just the collectibles of what they have, man. It's some people still think it's just a small little movie. It was in 79, but right now in 2019, 40 years later, it's probably, it's one of the big things that you see. I mean, you bring up the Warriors to someone that's familiar with film and they've seen it. And talking to other people, for sure. Listening to us of when we first seen it. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess I need to tell that story.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, when did you first see this?
I obviously, I was born a month before this was released. So in January of 79, so I obviously didn't see it then. And I did go through through the 80s without seeing it. I'm almost, you know, positive it was there. I rented so much. I've told the story before in my little Point Richmond town, the VHS store, like your last random recommendation, the Burbs. I remember I rented, you know, that and stuff, and Warriors was probably there, and I just never saw it. It wasn't until I was out of high school in 97, when I was down in Arizona, that I first, you know, just talking to people about it, and like, you know, I hadn't seen it, and then yeah, we eventually, you know, picked it up. I can't remember, you know, what format I first saw it on, but I know I eventually got the DVD when that came out, which wasn't until the early 2000s, right? The DVD, I think, if I'm right.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, from that point, that's when I guess I became probably more of like, you know, devoted to the film and, you know, like really, you know, recognized it for what it was. And yeah, it definitely been a few years. I played it for Jade a few years back, but it had been a few years since I watched it, so threw it in, you know, for a nice, you know, refresher. And yeah, it's just such an awesome film. One of the questions I want to ask you, you were talking about the music it inspired. Did you hear the song, the hip hop song they played on the rewatchables? Do you know what song that is? I tried to like look it up just by the lyrics, and I couldn't get it to.
Wasn't it a Red Man song?
I might have been. Yeah, because it was something he like rhymes, and then it's, you know, it went right into the film quote.
I think it was a Red Man song, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure. The DVD one is the one that's also on Blu-ray, is the Ultimate Director's Cut. That's the one. I have that on DVD as well as Blu-ray, but I do have the first go-around of the Warriors. This is the theatrical cut. I couldn't even tell you when this one came out. I do not see a date of when this came out. All I see is 1979. They usually say when
the actual disc hit.
Yeah, I'm not too sure when, but I have both versions. Like I said, I'm not a fan of the Ultimate Director's Cut. I'm a fan of the first edition.
Are both versions on it though?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So I mean, yeah, you can. Both of them out there. I think you can pretty much go on Amazon or eBay and get them. I'm looking right now. The regular cut is only like $3 on
awesome.
eBay or something. Or there's some guys are selling them for 12, and you can get the other one. Probably the Blu-ray. Last time I saw it was in that big pile at Walmart, those big bins with all the movies in it, the Blu-ray movies. That's where I seen it. I don't even remember when I got it. I think I got that when it first came out. I know I got it the first day it came out on DVD, and when I rushed home to watch it, I was disappointed on what they did with it. But
right.
I got the Blu-ray just because I needed it in my collection. But I'm glad I still have the theatrical cut. So that was my favorite. I mean, the director's one is basically the same movie, nothing cut out of it, just a little extra comic book imagery that's added to it, which I just didn't like. But
right.
Yeah.
Wonder man. Wheel. That obviously makes me think of Mr. Robot. Did you go on that?
No, I didn't go on none of those rides. Those rides look too old. They've been there since the 70s. So who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe longer. I think the Wonder Wheel's been there forever, because I remember there was an old movie that came out called, well, it was a newer movie, but it was supposed to be back in the day, and it was called Wonder Wheel. But nah, I didn't get on any of the rides. I kind of just walked through there to check it all out. But a lot of the stuff that there's the scenes that were filmed in Coney Island, especially at the beginning, none of that's there anymore. There was this big building. Okay. There was this big, huge building where somebody painted the Warriors down the side for the film. But they didn't show it in the film because it was in the beginning scene. They got cut. But it was on the when it aired on TV, they showed it there. That building's gone. There's other things. I kind of pulled out my phone and was pulling out Warrior things about Coney Island. Everything that was marked up, something to do with the film, it's all gone. It's all totally different there. The rides and everything are still there, but it's a different area now. But right. Other things that I've heard about this thing, a lot of this supposedly where these gangs are and everything, it's all gentrified and it's safe and there's no more gangs there. I mean, this movie is truly a classic. I cannot believe it's, 40 years.
40 years. 40, like me.
Yeah, 40-year anniversary. Yeah, you just turned 40
I go with the, if you know, you follow how old Warriors is, that's how old I am.
I was 8 years old when I saw this, and like I said, I still remember the first time I'd seen it. And
that's awesome.
All the other times that I'd seen it. First time seeing it in the drive-in, then seeing it on cable, then seeing it in the theater. When they bring back these old movies, if they brought it back again, I would go see it.
What about that idea they dropped on the rewatchables? Would you like to see it remade as like a 10-part Netflix TV series?
No,
like
I think
where they got more like in depth with like each gang, like this episode's about the Furies, this one's about the Rogues.
Nope, I don't want to know nothing about them. Just leave this thing alone. There is talks of them remaking it. They were supposed to remake it a while ago, but then it just fell apart and people still want to tackle this. I don't think it would work now.
They could do it as I don't know. I think the TV thing could work just because of how much you could get into, like, this one's all about the, you know, the baseball Furies.
What do you want to know about them? I mean, it's
what they just a baseball Fury, almost like adventure, what they get up to.
I don't think it will work. I mean, you're just going to ruin it. You're going to ruin what this film is. Nobody wants to know the story behind the Furies or the Rogues or the Punks or the Turnbull ACs or the Hi-Hats. Nobody wants to know anything about them. We would love to know more about the Warriors and see the rest of the gang, but I mean, I don't think it would work. And them trying to remake it to fit modern day, it will not work at all.
They could do it though 70s style.
That would be the only way, because people that when you go see this remake, if they eventually do it, they want to see the crazy gangs that they had in this.
Right.
You want to see the baseball Furies. You want to see the Savage Huns and the Hi-Hats, the guys that look like mimes. You want to see something like that. But
the mimes. That's amazing.
It won't work. They were people just called them the mimes, but they were called the Hi-Hats. None of that will work. I mean, it won't work because you're like, why are these guys' faces painted in 20? Let's say they filmed came out next year in 2020. Like, it won't fit modern day New York. None of this. I mean, if it was just a gang movie and they just called it the Warriors, what made this awesome was how the gangs looked
It has to be either 70s or like post-apocalyptic, like where we don't have, you know,
we've seen that already.
Technology,
we've seen that was called the Bronx Warriors, and that was supposed to be in the future, and that movie was terrible. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, but I that reminded me, I forgot to ask you, on the IMDb it says you also might like, and the first one it has is The Wanderers, and I see that came out 79. I have no idea what that is. Have you seen that? And is that any good?
That's hella good. That's back in like the 50s. That's in New York.
This is the
Greasers era. Okay. It's an awesome film. I loved it. I mean, I saw it at the same drive-in I saw the Warriors at.
Nice.
Check out The Wanderers, everyone. It's not a gang movie that they're supposed to be a gang. Well, there is a big gang fight, and you got the Wanderers, the Baldies, the Wongs, and those were the main gangs that I remember in it. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't just gangs fighting in it. It was more, there was a different kind of story to it. There was a little love story and everything. But it is an amazing film, The Wanderers. That was awesome. The Lords of Flatbush was good. That was with young Sylvester Stallone and a young Henry Winkler. Basically, that's where they got Fonzie from.
Fonz.
He wasn't Fonzie in that, but he looked like the Fonz. He had the hair and the leather jacket. Stallone, he looked hilarious in it with the greaser's hair and everything. But yeah, man, those films, the ones I just mentioned, check all those out there. They're all good, but.
Man, he is so close, like you said, to miss that shot. I'm just watching it now. Like, how did he not hit anything? Like, yeah. He's like feet away, and they're all bunched up.
Somebody would have got hit. Swan is the only one that looks like he ducked.
Right.
But yeah, hey, it's a movie. But
yeah, it's a movie. Definitely.
But this movie, man, it definitely has its spot in cinematic history.
No doubt.
For the Paramount Pictures for those years, man, and Walter Hill, an amazing director. He's put out a ton of good movies, and this is one of my favorite ones he had done. I also love 48 Hours. I also love Trespass, the one he did with Ice Cube and Ice-T, and the late and great Bill Paxton. And he also did Geronimo with Wes Studi, and he also did that boxing one with Wesley Snipes, and Undisputed with Ving Rhames as well, prison movie. David Patrick Kelly's in that too, Luther. He's in that. He's worked with Walter Hill many times. And another film that he did was awesome. It's an awesome Western, The Long Riders. You can watch that now on streaming on Hulu. Man, that's an amazing film. I loved it. Walter Hill was one of those directors in the 70s and 80s that just did.
He paved the way.
Amazing film work. I think he's still working today. I'm not too sure, but he's done a lot of movies that I've grown up watching and I love. And probably this is my favorite film that he has done. The Warriors, and I think this my second favorite film of his is The Long Riders. Again, if you guys have not seen that, it's an awesome story about Jesse James and his gang back in the day. It's streaming on Hulu. I know it's on there. I used to be on Netflix, but I don't think it's on there. But I just watched it on Hulu again. Plus, I got it on VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray because I love that film. But The Warriors, definitely, it's got a part in movie history. It's an amazing film. I do not want them to remake this because it'll lose everything.
You know they're going to at some point, like maybe 10 years, like the 50th anniversary. I could see them planning almost a release.
It won't work unless
unless you go 70s, right?
That's the only way. It would have to be in a 70s setting.
They could do it. They could definitely do it.
It would suck. It would not have what this movie has. I mean, this is one I know it won't be good. I mean, I can say that right now. And there's been many talks of them remaking this film, but there's always been something in the way to where they just trash the project and not go on. It never even got to principal photography. It was mainly in the talking stages on where they were going to do it. Cause they were saying the first time I heard, they were saying they were going to do it in L.A. I was like, L.A.? I said, this is a New York film. And then another one was they just didn't want to do it in New York because they're saying, well, we've seen that already. Nobody wants it in New York. If it's not in New York, don't make it at all.
They could make an L.A. one.
No.
Like,
no. The Warriors is a New York gang. It can't be in L.A.
That's the thing. It couldn't be The Warriors. They could do a film like it, but it couldn't be.
That's why I said they did the Bronx. They did the Bronx Warriors. That was a post-apocalyptic film. It's cheesy 80s style. But
is it good though? I haven't seen it.
No, it was good when I first saw it because I was a young kid. When did that come out? Let me look that up. But it's just, oh man, I remember going, oh cool. Let's check this out. Nah, it was bad. if I watched it now, that came out. Geez, that was a 90? I thought it was in the 80s.
Sometimes, you know, I've found that happens a lot where you're surprised because something feels so 80s and you're like, well, yeah, the new decade hasn't established itself. So like a lot of movies, like I swore Captain Ron came out in the 80s.
No,
but that was like early 90s.
No, this was the full title. I forgot all about it. 1990. The Bronx Warriors. This came out in 82. Okay, I was right. I said, I remember seeing this in the 80s. Jeez, I was 11 years old when I saw this. I want to say if you check YouTube, it'll probably be on there. I don't know if it's the whole movie, but I definitely know that the trailer's on there. Let me see. All right, here it is. And you can watch the whole movie on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah, 1990s, The Bronx Warriors came out in 1982, and it's an hour and 36 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah.
It's no Warriors?
No, it's total B movie cheese. It sounds bad, too.
It sounds bad.
No, I mean.
It
sounds like it's dubbed.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these gangs are crazy. I mean, even if you watch, what's that movie, that Kung Fu film? The Last Dragon. That was in New York, and the crazy gangs in that in the 80s. Right. Oh, that is. I mean, the 80s put out some of the best gang movies.
No doubt.
And they're crazy. I mean, even if you watch Death Wish 3, when he goes back to New York, and I want to say he was in the Bronx, and talking about futuristic looking gangs and that, man, the Warriors, man, yes, they were goofy looking, some of the gangs in that, but the gang, the main bad gang in Death Wish 3 is just bonkers. I mean, if you guys have seen that, you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't know, just go to YouTube and click Death Wish 3. I'm sure they'll show some of the gang films footage in that, especially the main bad guy. He looks stupid with this like bald spot and he's got paint. I don't know, it's horrible, but I love it because it's Charles Bronson and it's part of the Death Wish series. It should have been a one and done. But nope, they hit it big in the 70s, and then they roll into the 80s with all the sequels. So,
right.
But yeah. But
well,
yeah.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to run by a couple of more of these trivia things for you, get your reaction. Just a couple quick hits. Robert De Niro was asked to play Cowboy, but he passed on it. Man, that would have been amazing to see like a heavy hitter like that and just that side role of Cowboy.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing to see.
Oh, no. I don't
know. Because he's just there. It's just like, oh, my God, that's Robert De Niro all these years later.
I don't know, but I would watch it and see, but I don't think so, man. That's that would be bad.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, he had already done a lot of big stuff, so not surprised. The initial subtitle read Sometime in the Future, but Paramount thought it sounded too much like Star Wars from 77.
It would not fit as a futuristic film. I think, like I said, it came out at the perfect time in the 70s and not add no hokey effects, man. Like I said, watch The Bronx Warriors if you want that craziness or Death Wish 3. I mean, there was a lot of post-apocalyptic films in the 80s and they're just horrible. Some are awesome. Some, I think more of the sci-fi ones are cool. Like, but it wasn't on Earth, Space Hunter or Metal Storm. Those were, some of those were kind of little ripped off Road Warrior a little bit, but it is what it is, man. I loved both of them mainly because they were 3D films, but Yeah, man. If you just go in 80s and or just type in gang movies, there's a ton of them. You got the old school ones, the black and white ones, and then you got the stuff in the 60s and 70s, and then all the ones throughout the 80s. And then when the 90s roll around, you get all those films. I mean, even independent films, there's amazing ones, man, but it's awesome. But I think no one has ever captured what the Warriors has done within the gang filming, with the gang storyline.
Right.
Yeah, just on how colorful and everything with the gangs were.
And yeah.
They tried, like I said, they tried to do it with these other films, but they couldn't capture what the Warriors had.
What they did.
So
Tony Danza was offered the lead, but he chose the film television series Taxi instead. What do you think about? I could see Tony Danza.
I couldn't.
In the lead role.
I only see Tony Maselli from Who's the Boss, and Tony, I can't remember. I think it was Banta in Taxi. He was always Tony in everything he played.
Yeah.
But I loved him in Taxi. I love that show. Taxi always reminds me of It's Time to Go to Bed. Because when you heard that theme song, it was like way late. So I had to go to sleep. But that's what, every time I hear Taxi, that's all I can think of. But yeah, man, I mean, the Warriors, man, it is what it is. It's an amazing film, an awesome film. I love it. And like I said, it's in cinematic history. And everyone, if you have not seen this, basically ruined the whole movie for you. But I mean, it's still something that everyone should watch. I go to it time to time. I mean, whenever I just feel like dealing with the Warriors, but I figured we had to do this because it's 40 years. And for my old grandpa self, Zissou was there as well, but he didn't see it until he was much older. I saw it when it was its first original run.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I can still enjoy it today. And everyone, go watch The Warriors, man. This 40 years. We started recording on February 8th, and it's midnight right now. So the happy anniversary to Walter Hill's classic, The Warriors.
Happy anniversary!
40 years of Brooklyn's The Warriors. Coney Island. Man, it's amazing. I wish, I don't know, maybe they're doing something for it in Coney Island.
You would imagine. Which would be awesome. So, yeah.
Awesome. Go on YouTube and check out the Warriors' last ride when they had whatever celebration they had. They got some of the cast to be there.
Yeah, sounds like that was 2015.
Yeah, and there was, I can't remember the show, but James Remar was on it, and he had his original vest. He said, he goes, this, it was screen used. They only had one. And when they were done filming, he took it. He said they didn't know, but he took it. So he has it. He put it on in the interview I watched. He goes, it's a little snug, but he goes, I'm just buffer than I was back then.
Exactly.
But he still has it. I don't even know if any of the other guys have theirs, or maybe sitting on a rack somewhere in the Paramount lot. But James Remar has his, and I would say that vest is priceless. So he better, when it's time for him to lay down, he better wear it, because
right,
that's awesome, man. I mean, like I said, Ajax is my favorite Warrior in the whole film, and I'm glad that he has that piece of history. Cause he said when he did it, all of them, everyone that said, when we did this film, we didn't think it was going to be anything. And 40 years later, 20 years later, and people still talking about it. We're 40 years later and we're talking about it right now.
Exactly.
So,
right.
I mean, that's how important this film is. So everybody, 40th anniversary going right now today is when this episode is going to drop. Watch The Warriors if you have it. I just watched it the other day. I'll watch it again for the 40th anniversary because I love this film. But I don't think there's much more we can say. But if there is other things that you guys know, do drop us a line and everything. But there's so many documentaries on YouTube, and I think there's some stuff on the Blu-ray as well as the DVDs. And that was East Society's take on the 40th anniversary of The Warriors. And I have nothing else to say because I am tired.
The last thing I got for you, Nez, is this ranked 16th in Entertainment Weekly's top 50 cult films of all time. Now, not off the top of my head, I couldn't give you a top, 10, but I know Warriors would be in my top 10, if not my top 5. You think same for you?
This is number one.
Number one?
Out of gang films?
No, cult films.
Cult films?
Yeah. Got to be in the top 10, right?
No, it's number one, I would say.
Number one?
Yeah. Dude, there's so many other cult films out there, man. You got Clockwork Orange and one of your favorites right now, Class of 1984. I mean, that's
amazing.
That's a cult film. People can say Scarface is a cult film. So you would have to break them up into.
Yeah, it's tough to say because some people would say Big Trouble in Little China is, and for me that would be way up toward the top. Goonies, a lot of people say is a cult film.
Yeah,
that'd be a way up there for me. So
if you would just have to put in like gang cult films.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then number one.
That would be sick because you can say it's a cult film, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to define.
The Wizard of Oz.
I guess the only way you could say it is if it had kind of a lukewarm release and then found its audience later, you know, and then like went on to live like a, you know, big life. I'd say one of the more modern, as in the past 20 years, I would say Zoolander. I was a huge fan of that when it came out, but. You know, it was right after September 11th, and I remember the buzz around it. I was excited for Zoolander, but like I remember, like people like weren't in the mood necessarily for a comedy with what, you know, went down with September 11th. So it found its audience later. So
okay, I'm on really quick, everyone, because I know we got to get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, but, we got to go.
the 25 best gang movies of all time. This is IMDb. I'm just starting from the top and going down. Number one, Goodfellas. Number two, Once Upon a Time in America. The Godfather. Godfather Part Two. Pulp Fiction. The Departed.
Are you a Godfather guy?
Yeah, I only like the first one. I don't care for the other two. Where I was, The Young and the Damned. I saw that once. I don't really remember it. Mean Streets. That's an awesome film. American History X. Okay, if you want to call that a gang film. City of God, awesome film. I don't think this is a gang film, The Usual Suspects, but okay. High Noon, A Bronx Tale. They weren't really gangs, but all right. American Gangster.
Mafia.
That's not a gang, though. That's more of an organization. Anyway, On the Waterfront, Snatch. I don't call them gangs either, but all right.
Yeah, it's all mafia.
Eternal Affairs. That was more police, but if you want to call them a gang, all right. Training Day, those were police too, but there was some gangs in it. All right. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, I don't think there was any gangs, but all right. The Untouchables, Boys in the Hood. Yeah, there was gang, but I wouldn't call Ice Cube and those guys a gang. They were just friends that hung out. Gangs in New York, awesome film. I love that. End of Watch, there was gang. The Warriors is number 24. I put that number one spot. West Side Story. Oh, yeah, that West Side Story is number 25. Okay, that was. it's an awesome film. I love it. There is gangs in it. You got the Sharks and the Jets. But
well, I heard them say on that Rewatchables that the original inspiration for this and the novel was West Side Story without the music.
I guess you could say that. Have you seen West Side Story?
Oh, yeah.
I saw it once, and just to say I saw it. But
when you're a jet all the way.
Yeah, that's the only line I remember. A jet is a jet. Okay, whatever. Where's Grease? How come Grease or Grease 2 isn't on there, man? They were a gang. The T-Birds and the Pink Ladies and the Scorpions, they were a gang. Right. Goodfellas, all these mafia films, I wouldn't call them gang movies. Those are more just mob.
Yeah,
movies.
I guess it's easy just to group them in.
Even Pulp Fiction, there was no gang in that.
No, not really, right?
Uh-uh.
No, well, unless you count whatever, just Vincent Vega and you know, they're like,
it wasn't a mafia. Gang. It wasn't a gang.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the IMDb's 25 best gang movies of all time. You know me, everyone. I know the
classifications.
I would differ with pretty much most of these films. But anyway,
scrolling down the trivia, I found that song I asked you about. You were right. It was Redman, but it was part of Def Squad, and it's on the 98 song Can You Dig It?
Every time I hear Can You Dig It, other than thinking about the Warriors, I think of Booker T's song.
Yeah.
His intro.
Well, I always think of Shaq when the Lakers won their championship. He had his moment on the stage, and they've played it for pretty much 20 years, him yelling to the crowd, "Can you dig it?"
Because that's what Booker T says. I mean, right before his music hits, when it comes out, "Can you dig it, sucker?" And then the music kicks in, he comes running out. But all right, everybody, that's the Warriors, and we are both tired, and 40 years, everyone. Got to celebrate it. I am going to wear my Warriors t-shirt tomorrow, the movie Warriors, for the 40th anniversary. I do not have a vest, but yeah.
You need to pick one up.
I'd have to have mine customly made to fit the buffness that is Mac Nez. So, but all right, everybody. We are about to bounce up out of here, and we'll be back later on with a regular episode. We just got to get through the weekend with all these new movies that are out.
Yep. I'm going to go see them.
We're out of here. We'll talk to you guys later.
You East Society are good. Real good.
The best.